by Paul, but has some parallels with Paul's letter to the Romans. This is a letter to the Hebrews, as and as you can tell from the title, probably written to some Jewish believers who were early in the faith and trying to work out how does this new Christian faith fit in with their older Jewish faith. And the first 12 chapters of Hebrews talks about the interrelationship of that, and you know that's why you have the bits about you know the sacrifices and the high priest, and we are a priest and all that kind of stuff, which you'd expect. It's about how does the Christian faith fit into the Jewish faith, which the readers and hearers of Hebrews would be familiar with. And then you get to chapter 13, and chapter 13 is a little summary in its own right, and it's as if it's saying, now taken everything that's gone in that first 12 chapters about how it all fits together, chapter 13 is then a summary of the, if you like, the key tenets of some of the Christian faith. It's a, if that's what, this is how the faiths fit together, here is a reminder of what we believe. And chapter 13 is structured in such a way that it is set out as a set of reminders about not new teaching, but remember, this is what we believe. And it's got an interesting structure to it in its own right. The first section of chapter 13 actually goes from verse 1 to verse 18, not verse 16 as we have it finished today. But in those first 18 verses, there are 10 commandments. The Hebrews readers, hearers, would have been familiar with the structure of Ten Commandments. And it's not the Ten Commandments. But if you think of how the reading is, it's a lot of keep on, remember, don't do this, do this. And as you look through those 18 verses, there are actually Ten Commandments, which is very easy to pick out, about keeping on and obeying and loving people. And remembering to do things, and don't get tied up with money, be content with what you have. So it's a real summary of the tenets of the Christian faith put down there for the Hebrew believers, and they would have understood those Ten Commandments. And because it's that summary, it's always a good chapter for us to read to remind us of what it is we believe. But we sometimes forget that in that, some of the concepts that were being talked about were just alien concepts to the readers and to early Christians. This concept of love as a service rather than just as an emotion was alien to them. The concept of service being an attitude that we have rather than a specific action was just ludicrous. The concept of sharing possessions with anybody outside your family was just not on the agenda. It's just not what happened. And so we sometimes forget that as we read what we now understand as being the basics of our Christian faith, how radical it would have been for these early Christians, and particularly for these Jewish believers who were looking at what is it we should now be doing. And it would just be completely, completely alien to them, this concept of sharing everything that you have. There's also another section of Hebrews 13, which is a real clear indication to the Jewish readers of what was going on. Because in the verses 10 to 16, it's got one of these, it's structured in one of these crossover forms, you know, this chiastic form that we've sort of met before and I've droned on about. But it's where you've got various verses in parallel pointing to what the central tenor is. And verse 10 begins with it's not very clear in the way it's laid out in Partnership News. Verse 10 begins with a bit about the altar. We have an altar. And if you sort of read through it again in the luxury of your own time, you'll see there's a bit of a break there. So it starts off with, we have an altar. And then verse 16, which is its parallel, talks about the sacrifices, and sacrifices were made on altars. And then you get the next sort of verses in, which talk about being in a camp, a temporary structure, and the parallel says, we don't have an everlasting city here on earth. You know, it's the parallel. And then right at the centre, which the Jews and the Jewish readers would have been drawn to, the focus of their attention, it says, Jesus is outside the city, and the parallel is, we are to go to be with Jesus outside the city. That's where the focus of that particular passage is going. Again, a really strange concept, because outside the city was a place of disgrace. It was a place of shame. It was a place of desolation. For the Jewish readers, everybody was associate being outside the city with the place that the bull and the lamb that was taken for sacrifice, and the blood was used for the atonement of the sins of the Israelites. The animals were taken outside of the city to be slaughtered and to be burned and to be destroyed. That was a place of destruction, not a great place to be. And yet, that's where Jesus was crucified. That's where Hebrews says Jesus is to be found. Not in necessarily just the holy places, but in the places that we don't expect him to be, in those places of isolation and loneliness and places of desolation. Interestingly enough, there's a history for that. If you remember back when the Israelites were getting the Ten Commandments, Moses has gone off. The Israelites make a golden calf with Aaron. Moses comes down and says, I'm off. And he puts his tent outside of the camp. It's exactly the same words that are used in Hebrews, outside of the camp. That tent becomes the tent of meeting, and that's where God is, in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. God is, at that time, outside of the camp. It's bizarre because the previous bits of Exodus have all talked about the tabernacle and how you build the tabernacle, what the processes are for the tabernacle, how you manage it. And yet God isn't just there, he's outside of the camp. And with Jesus, history is repeating itself. He is to be found outside of the camp. And it seems to us that as we look at those verses from Hebrews, that we're called to be with Jesus in those places of desolation, those places where we wouldn't expect to find him. And in fact, in some ways, that's where he is more to be found, in the places we don't expect him. Perhaps in those areas of our own lives which we are sad or lonely or feel desolate about. God is there. That is where Christ is. Yes, he is here. He is within the holy places. He is within the tabernacle. He was within the tabernacle. He was within the temple. He is within the church. But he's also outside. And that's where he calls us to go and join him. And that's perhaps, in some ways, where we can draw closest to him. As bizarre and as ludicrous as that might seem. Just as some of the early comments to the Hebrews seem bizarre and ludicrous. Yes, God is here, but we are called to take him and meet with him outside. To meet with those people who feel lonely and desolate and isolated. And just perhaps, as we look at what our lives should be like, and what we should be doing in our own Christian lives, it's not so much a question of finding what we should be doing, but more a question of finding where is Jesus and what's he at? What's he doing? And then us going to join him in his work. Amen.
Amen.